I'm going to get right into the word. We won't be here too much longer, but I need to deliver this word and just stay on point with what I believe God is saying. Father, we thank you for your incredible presence. We thank you for everything that you're doing. And Father, we pray now that you would cause your word to come alive, that as we hear your word, it would take root on the inside of us. And that it would produce exactly what you've intended for it to produce. You said your word would go forth, not return to you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto the thing that you have sent it. So we thank you for that word right now being made manifest in our lives in Jesus' name. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a passage of scripture that I haven't been able to get away from, although today I want to speak from a different topic. And it's the same passage in Matthew 5, 16 through 20. It says this, "Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law, or you could say from my word, until it is accomplished. Whoever annuls one of the least of these commandments or my word and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Except that your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And then I want to read another passage of scripture that's in John chapter 10. I believe it's verse 1 through 10. Just track along with me there, Tracy. I'm not sure. Yeah, that's good. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door by the shepherd of the sheep, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly.'" Going back to that previous verse, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and go in and out of the pasture and find pasture." Say this with me. Jesus is the door. Come on. Jesus is the shepherd. And we are the sheep. Say, Jesus is the door. So I want to talk to us this morning for about the next 20, 25 minutes from this thought. It's time to step into all of the kingdom and not just through the door. It's time to step into all of the kingdom and not just through the door. I have been challenged for some time, but more recently over the last few years, in thinking about what is it that has us not living the life Jesus intended. What is it that keeps us from being able to walk in the fullness of what God has intended for us? I mean, has anybody else ever asked that question? I mean, be honest. Have you ever asked that question? Like, why isn't my stuff coming together? Everybody else, not everybody else's, but it just seems like certain folks' stuff seem to be coming together, but mine is whacked. It just doesn't seem to come together. And I have prayed and I've meditated and I've sought God, and I keep talking to him about his church, us, the body of Christ. And when I read this passage in Matthew where it says, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments or words and teaches others to do the same shall be the least of the kingdom of heaven, it was like an alarm went off and something illuminated that said to me, clearly this word makes it clear that you can be teaching something and it's less than what the Father intended. And in so doing, you not only become least or less in the kingdom, but those that you teach to do the same live out the same way. And I want us all to recognize that absolutely the greatest gift you and I could ever experience was the redemptive work of Christ. Jesus giving his life for us, saving us, being washed in his blood, being cleansed, forgiven of our sins. And now, having been saved from the penalty of sin, we're now being saved from the presence of sin. Every day you're being saved from the presence of sin, and ultimately you will be saved, delivered from the life that's sin. You and I will live in the eternal presence of God. But on our way there is what I want to talk about. Because what I have found is that we can be born again, love God, but we're still not living it out the way that God would have us to live it out. This past week for me was a lot going on, but I had two services to go to. A eulogy, and one was on Tuesday, one was on Friday. And as I found myself in those services, I saw this picture of a individual love God, live for God, but at the homegoing, no celebration, no life. No, nothing. This was a senior person up in age, went home to be with the Lord. I realized, Mr. Leroy, that scripture didn't really matter because it wasn't something that they even related to. I shared the word, but it was like force feeding it because there was no life there, although this individual was saved, clearly now with God. Fast forward to Friday, I'm at another service. Now I'm in Columbus, Ohio. This deceased person was a young man only 29 years old. But that service was a celebration. It was a celebration. The power of God moved through him while recognizing this guy is gone, 29 years old, but watched his mama and his family worship God, praise God. His mother said to me, can you ask me if I would sing "He Sent Me After Glory"? I said, well, I ain't singing in a long time, but I said, what I can sing is "He Will See You Through This Too." And I did. But it was filled with the presence of God. And I asked myself, I'm saying, what is this? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, it's because one chose to stop at the door. The others made their way into the kingdom. It's time to step into all of the kingdom and not just through the door. Listen, we're not trying to make light of Jesus. But you have to know, Jesus is making He's making intercession. Got to keep going until you win. Can't stop now. Jesus is making intercession. But can I tell you something? He's not making intercession that you stay saved. That's not what he's praying. Jesus is praying for you that the moment you became born again, that you would just keep going, keep making your way into the kingdom, keep making your way into the things of God, so that you would be able to walk out and fulfill everything that he intended, everything the Father created you for. Jesus knows who you are. He knows what you're created to do. He's not praying that you just make it in the gates. Seeing we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which would so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the author and the finisher, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, you and me, despised the shame, endured the cross, and has sat down. He is waiting. He is waiting. He is waiting. And he's interceding for you. He's interceding for you. But it's not that you stay saved, Gary. You know that. It's not that you just get to heaven. I'm praying you make it in. I'm praying you make it in. No, that ain't what he's interceding for. He's interceding, Brandon, that you and I would stand up and be the men that he's called us to be, walking in the power that he has on the inside of us. That's what he's praying for, men. Sometimes you may wonder, is anybody praying for me? You got the greatest intercessor, the intercessor of all intercessors, who's praying. But I need us to know, he's saying, get out the door now. Get out there. We live in these small places and wonder why things seem so small. Life seems so small. Devils are mad right now because we're here. I'm talking to you now. Devils are mad right now that we're here because there's churches and churches and churches, and they're in the door, but they've never really made their way unto the fullness of the kingdom. I love our worship this morning. I love the way it's flowing because we rehearse something and don't even do it. Jesus. But you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be. All we're doing is getting recalibrated. But once we're recalibrated, because what we're doing is we're moving out into the kingdom. And the devil can't track that. He can't figure it out. Now, they practice this song. So, yeah, I'm going to try to hinder this song. No, God's going to say, no, we got this. We're going to go some places you don't even know where we're going. And by the time you figure it out, it's too late. We're moving somewhere else. Boy, we sang so many different choruses this morning. Tracy could hardly keep up. What are you saying now? Got Pastor Nina running up there. Until we win. Got it. Okay, put that in the loop. Put it in. Yeah. See, that's navigating through kingdom. And I'm telling you, there are people who are looking for that genuine. They're tired of service where they come in and know exactly how it's going to go, exactly how it's going to be. They want to come in, sense, feel the power of God. We need a Holy Ghost invasion, a supernatural interruption, a God-led revolution where miracles are the rule. We just need to show up and let him show out. And whichever way he goes, we're going, we're going, we're going, we're going, we're going. By the time we're done, everything he intended to do has been happening. Everything he's intended to do, it has been happening. But in order for that to happen, it's time to step into all of the kingdom and not just through the door. Not just through the door. So I want to share these points with you real quick. Number one, the further you move into the kingdom, the more of the kingdom will be revealed to you. The more you're able to see the endless possibilities that are available to you. With God, all things are possible. Scripture says with men, these things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. We got so many short-sighted believers. You know what it means to be short-sighted, right? That means you can't see far away without glasses. But we've got so many short-sighted believers. But it's not always the believer's fault. Sometimes it's that pastor, it's that leader that only teaches so much. I'm here to tell you, you can be anything God called you to be. You can do anything that God has called you to do. I'm not trying to gather a whole lot of people to myself. I want to see you rise up. I want to see you get built up. See you strong. See you mature. And then walking out what God has intended to do in your life. If it's here, so be it. But if it's somewhere else, God bless you. We want you to go as far as you can in the kingdom so that the impact you have in the earth is an eternal, lasting impact. The further you move into the kingdom, the more the kingdom is revealed to you. The more you're able to see the endless possibilities that are available to you. You have to know with God all things are possible. Ephesians 3, 14 and 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives the name, its name. And he would grant that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do more abundantly beyond all we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. According to the power that works within us. Unlimited. 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 It's time to step into all of the kingdom and not just through the door. Thank God we're saved. Thank God you're saved. You're going to heaven. It's done. Now what are we going to do until he comes? He said occupy. That means hold it down, lock it down, keep it right until I get back. When I come back, I'm going to reward you for everything you did, everything that you fulfilled. And I'm going to know if you accomplished what you had the ability to accomplish, because I know what my daddy gave you. I know what he gave you to work with. Secondly, the further you move into the kingdom, the greater possibility for the kingdom to be manifested in you and through you. The further you move into the kingdom, the greater the possibility for the kingdom to be manifested in you and through you. Romans 8:14 says this. For all who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs of God, heirs of God and fellow heirs or joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed to us, in us, through us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the saints. See, when you learn to walk into, step into all of the kingdom, then you recognize things that are happening in your world, in your life, are part of the process for the greater manifestation of the kingdom to come through you. Church mentality makes you feel like you've got just this plight that you're living out. Just this Christian plight. And oh, one day when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We will sing and shout the victory. But sometimes we sing it just like, when we all get to him one day. I don't know when it's going to be. And the reason, hear me now, and the reason why that's where you live is because you never went past the door. You never went past the door. You never went into the rest of the rooms in the house. You're living in this mansion. You're living in this place of expanse. And you only get in the door, in the foyer, and you're looking around like, wow. And you just keep standing there. Wow. A year goes by. Wow. 2 years go by. Wow. 10 years go. Wow. Have no clue. All of it's yours. All of it's yours. You have access to all of it. Run up that spiral staircase. Now I'm painting a picture for you. Either side of it. You know them staircases. You know that big area. The staircases go like this. Yeah, yeah. Run up one side, come down the other a couple times, and then start going in the various rooms and really check out the expansiveness of what God can make available. But you see, part of the challenge is, see, I remember a teaching years ago by a gentleman by the name of Mark Hanby, and he was talking about elevation. He was talking about how that when one is here, one is here. When one moves here, you make room for somebody here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you get off the step, then somebody else can get on the step. Next step. When you get on this step, somebody can, and you just keep going up. That's the way it's supposed to be. But here's our challenge. You see, you get in the door. You're excited about being in the door. There's somebody behind you that's trying to get in the door as well. But you can't, you know, they're trying to work around you, and you standing there just wowing about this. When they come in, they think that's all there is to. Look at somebody and say, get out the way. Get out the way. You're standing in the doorway. You're standing in the doorway. The further you move into the kingdom, the greater the possibilities. See, when we really latch on to this revelation that we are heirs of God, 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 joint heirs with Christ, and there is nothing that he will not do for you and I. Nothing. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. See, I just happen to have this problem. I grew up in this eclectic mix of church life that caused me to see what works and what doesn't work, caused me to see what stops, what stifles, and what can really propel you and move you forward. Somewhere in my early years, I don't know, just pray for me if you think it's prideful or haughty, but somewhere in my early years, I just believed I was special to God. I just believed I was special. Matter of fact, Bryce, I still believe I'm special. Matter of fact, I don't believe I'm special. I know I'm special. I know I'm special. I'm saying it. I know I'm bruhs. I ain't brother. Bruhs. I know I'm special. I know. Anybody over here say I'm special? No, come on, guys. Don't think about anything that you didn't been through. I'm talking about how God sees you. Come on, you're special. You're special. You're special. Come on, say I'm special. Some of y'all ain't never said it about you. Come on, I'm special. I'm special. Look at the person next to you and say, don't let this flesh fool you. I'm special. I'm special. I'm special. I just lived there. God help me. And I didn't mean like God help me to not think that. I'm saying God help me because I know that I am. I know that I know that I know that I know that I am. And I've been special to God all my life. He's always spoke to me. He's always given me revelation. He's always began to impart things to me. And the challenge is, if there's others who only get through the door, don't want you to get any further in the kingdom, because if you get any further, you're going to come into a reality of the much more that God has. And people have a way of hating on you and blocking you. blocking you. Trying to block your view, you know. You're trying to see around them heads so big you can't even see. Hey, can you just move over? I mean, I'm trying to see what's down the road. There's got to be more than just this area we just walked in. I've read some things in this book that tell me there's an expanse out there. And as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, we come into that place. We come into that place. We come into that knowledge. And that's the importance, hear me now, that's the importance of being taught well by men and women of God who understand this, so that you can walk in the fullness. Going here to Galatians chapter 4, it says, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything." You own some stuff. And it is the working of the Holy Spirit and those who God put in your life to teach you, to train you, to raise you up, to bring you into a place where you can access those things and be able to have those things in the kingdom of God manifested in the earth. It says, but is under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. The third point I want to make, and I'm almost done. I only have two more points after this one. The further you move into the kingdom, the less concerned you are about the temporal things around you. You begin to see and live from an eternal perspective. Let me say this again. The further you move into the kingdom, the less concerned you are about temporal things around you. You begin to see and live from an eternal perspective. This is not my home. I just thought I'd hear not mine either, but I'll hold off and wait. This is not my home. This is not our home. There's another place waiting for us. There's another place God has for us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. That's what Paul writes when he says, these present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's revealed in us. What he's saying is, I'm keeping my eye on the eternal. You and I, now I'm talking about now, a place out there in the kingdom where you're not continually bogged down by how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I get this paid? How do I get that paid? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Meaning, just keep going. Just keep seeking me. Keep seeking my kingdom. Keep going. Find your place in the kingdom, and everything that you have need of, I've already taken care of it. Come on. Some of y'all need to clap your hands even though you don't believe it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The further you move into the kingdom, the less concerned you are about temporal things around you. You begin to see and live from an eternal perspective. Some of the things that are bothering you, some of the things that are concerning you, if you can just get still and say, Daddy, give me an eternal perspective. Help me to just see this from your perspective. All of a sudden, that care, that concern, that worry will just dissipate. And you'll recognize that in light of eternity, this moment means very little. Me trying to figure out how to pay this bill, pay that bill, do this, do that, in light of eternity, it don't mean a whole lot. Now, it doesn't mean you don't handle your business, because that's part of our kingdom assignment as well. But I'm talking about living in a place, because you see, out of this place that I'm talking about, you begin to see and live from an eternal perspective, that's a place of victory. That's a place of victory, because you recognize I'm just here for a little bit. I'm just here for a season. And so I need to do all that I can as fast as I can. But this is not my home. This is not my home. And it doesn't matter whether you're born again or not. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this: He has made everything appropriate in his time. He has set eternity in their heart. There is something on the inside of everybody. There's an eternal clock, whether you realize it or not. There is a clock on the inside of you. There is one who is stirring, who makes you aware that there is an eternity out there. The next one: the further you move into the kingdom, the more evidence of the kingdom will be seen in you. It will be manifested in every area of your life, your conversation, your relationships, your finances, your health, your attitude, your perspective, everything. Everything. You see what I'm talking about when I say it's time? To step into all of the kingdom and not just through the door. I'm not saying that everything's perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying to us is everything in your life ought to look different than the unbeliever who's not trusting God. Everything about your conversation, your relationships, your finances, your health, your attitude, your perspective. And make no mistake, we all recognize we live in this world. And this world is a sin-ridden world. So there's things that we must address and deal with. This world is not going to be here forever. And there are times when you and I, we are challenged by finances. We are challenged by health. But even in the midst of those who have found this place of eternal perspective and what it truly means to live further in the kingdom handle it differently. Just like when I had that health challenge. You need to go? Okay. I handled it out of a place of eternal perspective. I stayed right with God. I read the information. I Googled what I needed to Google. But I stayed with Daddy till I heard Daddy say, this is the way, walk therein. And when others who knew about it were kind of concerned, well, you know, he don't seem to be too bothered about it. I wasn't. I really wasn't. I was waiting. I was waiting. The further you move into the kingdom, it really should be manifested in your life. And one of the challenges that I see in the body of Christ, again, going back to my original statement, believers come through the door and then stop. Because no one is telling them your salvation is secure, but you have an assignment now. And I want to end on this point. Because here's the key. It is the devil who can look at you, see the potential in your life, and he will devise schemes and plans to see that you never, ever come into the fullness of who God created you to be. It's like that movie After Earth with Will Smith and his son, where they crash on the planet, and it's an evolved Earth that they crash on, and Will is hurt, and he can't get around. He tells his son, "I need to send you out there to find this other beacon," and he begins to tell him about the terrain and everything he's going to have to deal with. And then at one point, he says, "Make no mistake, son. Everything on this planet has evolved to kill you. Everything on this planet. I want you and I to recognize that everything on this planet is devised to kill you. Everything on this planet is devised to shut you down. To see that you never, ever come into the fullness. That's why Jesus came. And when he came, he brought the kingdom with him and said, now everybody who comes through this door, everybody who comes through me has access to the kingdom now. And you can live out your life here on earth, in it, but not of it. We're in it, but not of it. Meaning we reside in the kingdom. We reside in the kingdom. And everything, every decision we make is out of that place. And when you find yourself being shook by the things going on around you, all you got to do is remind yourself where you really live. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. This is my last point. The further you move into the kingdom, the more your vision becomes clear concerning your purpose and destiny in the kingdom. That's why, hear me, that's why for some of you, you were in a particular church, particular denomination, particular theology and organization, and it just wasn't working. What you felt called to do wasn't working. And it really has to do with not having moved far enough or into the kingdom to have the clarity as to what it is God has purposed to do with you. The further you move into the kingdom, the more your vision becomes clear concerning your purpose and destiny in the kingdom. You are no longer limited by the mindset and constraints that ministry is only for those who are called. You recognize that all in the body of Christ are called and have a kingdom assignment. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7 says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope and calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ. Means according to the measure of Christ's gift, the very thing you were created to do. And then in 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 11, it says this, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, spirit of fear, but love, and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. From the moment you were born, destiny was set in motion. From the moment you were born, destiny was set in motion. I am convinced that many will never fulfill it to the fullest, because they never understood. Once you come through the door, you need to make your way into the expanse of the kingdom. I want to pray You may be one who says, you know what? I feel like that's me. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. But I haven't really walked into the fullness of the kingdom. And that may be the very reason certain things are not happening for me. Because hear me when I tell you, it's not memorization of the scriptures. It's the application of the scriptures that gets you down the road. Memorization is good. Get it on the inside of you. But it is application.